Hi everyone, it's Kevin G, the best thing since gold. And you're listening to The Therapist Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Kezia, a holistic therapist, about her book and MS diagnosis. Welcome to the show, Kezia. How are you doing?
Really good today. Yeah, really well. Thank you for having me.
How's the week been?
It's been wonderful. It's been super busy, which is great. So I can't complain as a business owner, I can't complain if work is busy.
That's so good. Absolutely.
Busy with life and work. So
that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Kezia, talk to us a bit about your background and how you kind of got to where you are today.
Okay. Well, I'll try and cut a very long story short. I was training holistic therapy. So I was training at Leicester College doing holistics. And halfway through my holistics training, I got diagnosed with MS. So I was literally halfway through my course, and then suddenly this bomb sort of hit me. And so I had to deal with the MS. And I mean, I was very, very healthy. I used to do a thing called Fit Chicks. It's like a Leicester-based thing. So I was doing that. And we used to do, I think they call it the Wolf Run now. So I was doing that. So you go through tires and you climb up huge walls and do zip lines and things like that. And on one particular occasion, I did all the tires. I was right at the front of everyone because I used to be a little, I'm tiny, but I was quite quick. And I was at the top ready to do the zip wire. And then I just froze. And it's something that I'd done loads of times before. And my best friend now caught up with me and she was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I can't do it." And she was like, "We've done this loads of times. Everyone is catching up. Go." And I said, I just can't. And she was like, "I don't understand." And I was like, "I have no idea." And she said, "Just hold on. I'll push you." And so there was just this sudden panic of something that I'd done thousands of times. And I literally held onto the zip wire and she just pushed me off. And that was the first thing, really. And then it was a few weeks after that, I started falling over nothing. And I'd kept tripping over, my eyesight was going. Eventually I got to the point where I couldn't smell things. They'd make me feel really ill. And yeah, and then I started being sick and I couldn't even drink water. I lost so much weight in a really, really short period of time. And I was going to the doctors and I never go to the doctors. I'd never go. And I was like, I keep falling over. And they kept checking my ears, because obviously they're thinking it's a balance thing. And I had eardrops and they put me, I think it was domperidone, I think it is, for anti-sickness. So I was taking that and nothing seemed to be working. And then eventually I was like, I need to do something. And they did an MRI and they're like, "Oh, have you ever heard of MS? And that was when I got my diagnosis.
Oh, it was an MRI that...
Yes.
That's when it actually solidified what was happening.
Yeah. So literally I was so, so healthy. And then suddenly just falling over nothing. Because I was actually booked in to do the Race for Life. And then I was like, "I can't even stand up. Just, I can't do this." Because I was a proper gym buddy. I was always at the gym and I was doing swimming before I went to college. And I was like super, super healthy. And I was doing, in my degree, I did theatre for my degree and we did 12-hour vigilance. So you keep moving for 12 hours. And that was like one of the signs. And I went to the doctors and they said, "You've probably got shin splints." I was like, "Okay." And now looking behind everything in hindsight, I look back and think, "Oh, that was MS. That was MS." But I was just so healthy. And I thought, you know, really healthy people don't get ill. You know,
it's shocking though, isn't it? Because everything's fine. You're healthy. Work out, you do your physical, you do all sorts. And out of nowhere, it's shocking, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah, it was so bizarre because, I mean, I was signed up to do the Race for Life. I was doing, I think they call it the Wolf Run now. I was doing those things. I was constantly doing stuff. My theatre degree, I was doing vigilant. I was just doing loads. And then, I mean, diagnosis was halfway through my holistics training. And it was just such a bizarre thing because you always think it won't happen to me. And before, I thought I'm really healthy, nothing, you know.
Before you got the diagnosis, did you suspect that it could be MS?
Not at all. Not really? At all.
And so just literally, so when they announced it, the findings, the diagnosis, it must have been like, it must have hit you like a brick in the head.
It really did, because the thing is, you think, and it sounds terrible, but we all do have these things, I just voice them. You think, MS, you're in a wheelchair, you're really ill. Do you know what I mean? That's it, and that's the end of that. And I knew one person whose mum had MS, and it was when I was a teenager, and she basically went from being quite healthy to being in a wheelchair, moving into a bungalow. And I used to say, come on, let's go out walking. And she was like, I've got MS, I can't walk. And I was like, yeah, you can. I'll take you, even if we go in the wheelchair. And I used to push and push her and say, come on, let's try, when I was a teenager. And so when they said it's MS, I thought, oh, is this because I tried to force her to go out? Just really, and I was thinking, is this my karma, you know?
I've spoken to a few people with MS on the show, and they explained how, you know, I remember us having discussions how there's certain, I think, stereotypes about people with MS in terms of how they present. And because in our mind, we've got the worst case scenario, you know,
we do.
Maybe the wheelchair, maybe there's shaking, like, you know, the absolutely debilitating, but it's not always that way. And there's varying degrees. No. Is that right?
I think humans, we naturally go for the most dramatic. So our automatic thing is to look at what's the worst scenario. And when you get thrown with something, you think, oh my gosh. And all I could think was to her. And she went from getting a diagnosis, moving into bungalow, being in a wheelchair. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was thinking, I'm so healthy. It's not fair. You know, you go through all those things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, it was bank holiday Monday, so I was coming on the Friday, and then they were like, someone will speak to you. And I was just like, oh, because I was thinking, am I going to be in a wheelchair for Monday? I mean, it's so, I look back now, and it's so stupid. But luckily, there was a young lady that was in the one in the bed next to me, and she said, oh, welcome to the club. And I was like, okay. And she said, it's not that bad. Don't worry, it's not that bad. And I was like, okay. And then when the nurse came, so it was the Tuesday, I think. So I was left from the Friday to the Tuesday. And she was like, is there anything you need to know? And I said, oh, do I get a disabled toilet key? And she just burst out laughing. And she said, no one has ever said that. And I said, wow, I need to look at the positive, you know.
That, I mean, I can obviously see you over Zoom. And I've seen you get up and you made a coffee.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't, honestly, I'd never think it.
No, I mean...
I just can't see anything that would indicate that, I mean, you have any health problems, let alone MS.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm quite, because I hid my MS for about 10 years. So it was a long time.
10 years?
And it was over 10 years, I think. Obviously, my family knew and my close friends knew, but I got so good at hiding it because I had a stick that folded up that I would, you know, if I saw people when I was in town, I would literally go into a shop and I would hide from people. It's so ridiculous. I now realise I hadn't dealt with it. And so I hadn't dealt with it myself, so I wasn't going to announce it to anyone. But again, that's hindsight. But I was worried that people would think, you know, could they catch it? And then I was like, oh, they might not want to be around me. Or, you know, would they catch it? Or, you know, would my clients still have treatments and think, because if you look at MS, it's all about managing fatigue. And I was thinking a client is not going to come and have treatments with me in case I get too tired if they know about MS, because you think, oh, you imagine someone on a sofa not doing very much. Do you know what I mean? So I thought, but in hindsight, it was purely that I hadn't dealt with it really. And so after 10 years, I did sort of come out to the world.
Right. Did health professionals, I mean, is there a cause of MS at all? Or is it something that just happens really out of nowhere?
I don't know. I mean, they're still doing so much research at the moment. There's a big thing about vitamin D. I mean, there's so many theories. They're not sure if it is hereditary. They don't think so. I mean, I think it might be to do with vitamin D, maybe. They literally have no idea yet. So I think there's loads of research going into it at the moment.
You was out quite a lot, though, wasn't you? I mean, it doesn't sound like it was probably vitamin D. You sound like you was always very active.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There's so much research trying to work out why it happens. So No, no, I think when you've got MS, the one thing they say is have more vitamin D, more vitamin D. And there's loads of different medications. I mean, I've been on loads. So I started off on Betaferon, which is an injection you do yourself every other day. So I did that for probably about 2 years, but I just didn't get used to it. And people say you get used to injecting yourself, and now I didn't. And I used to come up in a rash because I was just, it was purely stress because I knew I was doing this injection. And then so I moved to Avonex, which was a weekly injection. So I think that's an intramuscular one, so it works deeper. I think my science.
We'll talk more about the medical side of things. Mm. I basically just wanted to ask, what kind of symptoms initially were you getting in the beginning?
It was later on my eyesight was going blurry, but I noticed when I started tripping over, and I mean like falling over nothing. So I think that was a development of drop foot, I think. I was actually falling over, so my balance was off. And then it felt like the room was spinning. So I'd get like nauseous and the room would literally turn and I'd be like, oh, so a lot of vertigo, falling over nothing. And then I went off food and then I couldn't have water. And then I got to the point where I was just on one side. And if I stood up, I'd be sick. So the MRI was quite difficult, but yeah, I know I was like, can I get up? Can I get up? And then the minute the MRI was finished, because you have to stay very still for an MRI, I got up and I just raced to the toilet. And there was a student in there with me and he's like, is this normal? Does this normally make people sick? And I was like, no, this is strange. You know,
were the, did the symptoms become more intensified a bit later?
Yeah, I think because it started off just the tripping. And then it was the room spinning. And then it got to a point where I literally couldn't even sit up. So I was stuck, I think it was my right-hand side. And I had to lay on my right, otherwise the room would spin. So it was really bad vertigo. And then obviously because I couldn't eat anymore because of smells, and then I couldn't drink, and then I lost weight. So it's sort of cumulative.
Is the MRI the only way of diagnosing? Did they do a combination of tests?
I just had an MRI because it was quite clear with mine. But I think they also do a lumbar puncture, but I didn't have to have that because my MRI was quite clear.
Okay. We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So, Kezia, thank you for talking to us a bit about, you know, the beginning stages of, you know, MS and the diagnosis. How did you take the diagnosis?
Well, originally, I was like, oh, my gosh, that the end. So I was a bit horrified and I thought, the usual, it's not fair. Why me? I'm eating healthy. I'm doing exercise. That's not fair. And it was a lot of very, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's the end of that. And then I started seeing a bit of humour in it and saying, okay, can I get a disabled toilet kit? You know, and trying to make light out of it, really. So, yeah, I think that's the best way, that's the best weapon against anything is humour. And I think I've used that a lot.
Did you experience low moods as well initially in the beginning when you first...
Yeah, I think I was just... angry. First of all, I was just, it was a mixture of emotions. It was anger. I didn't really understand why that's happening. Yeah, it just seemed unfair, you know. So,
how did you cope? Did you use any skills, coping skills, mechanisms?
Loads, loads of things. I mean, obviously, I was on the medication, so injections. And then because I was studying holistic therapy, I was looking at ways to calm myself, because I'm a big believer in stress makes everything worse. So I started doing meditation. And when people say meditation, I was like, oh, I can't do that. I can't stare into a candle for an hour. I'm going to get bored. And so I was quite realistic about it. I was like, this is not going to happen. But then slowly I started doing it. And there was, I think it was Chopra, the meditations, so listening to the audible and it's guided. And at first I was like, this is ridiculous. And I was thinking about my gas bill and I was thinking about various different things and thinking, this is a waste of time. I should be doing something more useful. And then that was the first one. And then the second one, I was like, oh, you know, I could do something else. And then the third one, it was like a dong and you're done. And I thought, oh my gosh. And then I started getting used to doing it because meditation is basically, it's just a bit of time out. Because we don't do that. And in our society, it's all about, you know, the rat race and rushing and doing everything. But it is so important just to have some space. So I literally put in my diary breaks because, like with MS especially, you have to be so careful about not wearing yourself out. So
absolutely. Were there any books that you used at all? Anything that you did reading on or...?
There was a book called The Happiness Project that I read, which I absolutely loved. And it was just, this was quite a few years ago now. And it was basically about someone that just had an everyday life. There was nothing major, but she just started noting things and trying to be aware of wonderful things around her. One thing that I always say to my clients, especially, is gratitudes. I mean, my children, they reel them off now because I'm like, right, every morning, five gratitudes, every night, five gratitudes. And it can start off really simple. Like my daughter, she's 12 now, but she used to be like, oh, I can't do anything. But now she just reels them off. So you start off with, you know, basic things like I'm alive, it's sunny, you know, start off with basic things. But when you do it so regularly, you start noting things around you. So like gratitude, it's just a given and they can both reel it off so quickly now. Like all my family, my friends are like, oh, here we go. But they just reel them off. And it's about a mindset because if you're doing gratitude, you start looking more around you and being grateful for what you do have. So that's something that I practice very, very often.
The number of times I've done the show and people mention gratitude.
Yeah.
Honestly, it comes up a lot. It comes up a lot. I hear it so much.
Yeah.
And I use gratitude myself. That's so good. You know, it's huge in terms of, I think, mental well-being, isn't it? No matter what's going on, you think to yourself, well, you know, at least I can do this, or this is happening for me and I have this. There's people in the world which unfortunately they're in a much worse place, which is very unfortunate. Do you know what I mean? So gratitude is huge, you know.
It's massive. It's probably my biggest thing that people are like, what would you know, Kezia, by pushing gratitudes? Because I really believe that makes such a difference. And you can't control what life throws at you because horrible things do happen and you can't control that. But if your head's in a good space, then you can work out how you deal with that. And that's the difference between someone whose head is not in a good space. You know, the same thing can happen to two different people. But if that is a person that's practicing gratitude all the time, they are more likely to find a way out of it.
And also there's like the power of positive thinking as well.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
That's a huge one. I think there's a book. I read a book some time ago. No, it was another book. I can't remember the author, but just generally power positive thinking, no matter what's happening or what's going on, you know, it's about being positive, and psychologically that helps it helps us physically as well, you know, which I find absolutely does work from my own experiences. Have you found the same?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I was talking to someone, it was literally last week, because I go to the Leicestershire MS Therapy Centre every week and I do oxygen there and have physio there. But I was literally talking to someone who had to go for their regular MRI, and they were like, you know what I'm going to do? And I said, do a body scan. And they were like, what? And I said, start off on your toes and literally just send peace to your toes and then move up, your ankles, your shin. And I say, what I do a lot of times is I imagine sewing up the lesions all along my spine and in my brain. And then you make good use of your MRI time. You're healing yourself while you're doing that, because if you're having a full body MRI, it's quite a long time to stay still. But if you're using that time to do something positive and just sort of ground yourself, you know, and I saw him recently and he was like, yeah, that it really did help, you know, just sort of grounding yourself, because otherwise it can be claustrophobic.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And journaling, a lot of people I speak to, they talk about journaling, just writing it down, how you're feeling, what's going on. Have you used journaling at all?
Yeah, I haven't done much recently, so I should do a lot more. But journaling definitely is a good one. You can. I mean, it's getting it out of your head, isn't it? Because if people are worried, I mean, I used to do this because I used to be called worrywart when I was at school, because I worried about everything. And then after I had my son, I just sort of went, everything will be all right. As long as I keep this little person alive, everything else doesn't really matter. And I just sort of relaxed. But I used to do a lot of journaling, things that you were worried about all the time, but I haven't done it for a long time, but I should probably start doing it again.
Let's talk about the treatments, prognosis, injections, infusions, et cetera, like you mentioned before, and go into a bit more detail. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, okay. Originally, it was the beta-feron, which was an injection. So I did myself every other day, and you're meant to get used to it. Everyone says you get used to it, but I didn't. And I used to get a rash, and that's purely because I was stressed because I didn't want to do my injection. So I moved from that to Avonex, and that was a weekly one. And I used to find things to do. You know, I need to pair socks. I needed to clean toys. You know, I'd find anything so I didn't have to do it. But then I had the Avonex, so I did that weekly. And then after that, because MS is, you know, it's progressive, so when you get told there isn't really much else you can do, and then I went to Tysabri, which is an infusion, so that was every 28 days at the hospital having this infusion. So I had that for about 6 years, I think it was, and then it was when I went to a neurology appointment, they were like, I'm really sorry, there's, you know, it's not working. I mean, I was in a right state that day because it had been pouring down with rain. I was shattered. So I was thinking, oh, it's a really bad time to have my checkup, you know, because there was no car parking space. So I had to park elsewhere and walk through. And I had two poles at that point. So I was walking with two poles. And I was in such a mess. But again, I think a lot of it was stress, because I think stress brings anything on with anyone. But yeah, he said to me, I'm really sorry. There's nothing else the NHS can do for you now, you know. It's inevitable you're going to be in a wheelchair for Christmas. And I was like, no, sorry. And he was like, well, that, you know, we've gone through all the DMT, so disease modifying drug therapy, sorry, you know, you've had Tysabri, that doesn't seem to be working. And I was like, there'll be something else, what else can I try? And when you get a diagnosis, everyone has a cure for you. You know, you spin around on a Tuesday, or you have more oranges, or it's just ridiculous. Everyone has all these different things. And one person said that her sister was in a wheelchair with MS, and now she's up and about. And I was like, right. And so I went along to this meeting, and one of my clients at the time, so it's a few years back now, was an MS nurse. And she said 50% get worse or die with HSCT. So with the stem cell transplant, this is what the meeting was about. And so I thought, no, not interested in that. I'd rather be alive than dead. But I went along to this meeting anyway because I thought it was my friend's friend of a friend. And I went along to this meeting and this woman ran across the stage and she said, you know, she was in a wheelchair the year before. And I was like, what? And she said she had MS and she had a stem cell transplant. And I was like, what? And then I watched all of these because it was very like, they had all these slideshows. It's this charity called AIMS. And they had all these slideshows and they were telling you about statistics and, you know, all these just loads of numbers being thrown at me. And then suddenly this little doctor came on and he was so smiley. And he says, here, we treat each other like family. I will do all the science. You do everything. You look after yourselves. We are a family here. The patients all look after each other. And I thought, if I'm ever, ever crazy enough to have that treatment, I'm going to go to Russia because this is where Dr. Fedorenko was. And so when the doctor said to me, the neurologist said, I'm really sorry, there's nothing else you can do. And I said, well, I'll have a stem cell transplant. And he was like, you're too far gone. And so then I was like, no, I have to do something, you know. And so I came out at that point to the world and started fundraising. So that's literally what made me come out because I was like, there's got to be something else. And because I'd seen this happy man saying, we all look after each other, I was like, right, I'm going to be bonkers and go off to, he was Russian, so Dr. Fedorenko in Russia. So I came out to the world. My clients were really shocked because I'd hidden it from everyone. And then, people presumed I had cramp or because I got really sneaky about hiding it. But yeah, then fundraised, managed to raise an awful lot of money. People were amazing, you know.
Tell us a bit more about fundraising because you're involved quite a lot in that, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, I was so lucky. I literally came out to the world. My clients were really shocked. So they were so generous. We had big meals and there was a huge restaurant and the owner actually donated some money and I had my clients were selling tickets. I didn't ask them, but my clients were selling tickets. Family was selling tickets. People that had the treatment already got on board and were selling tickets for like, for this meal. And I had like a psychic night. I did a pamper day at my house. We had a film screening, literally almost anything you can imagine. We were doing raffles at every event possible. And I mean, I got so lucky. I started doing I had a Just Giving page as well. And I started doing, videos on YouTube. One of my friends said to me, you need to let people see what it's really like. And I was like, what? Like me playing with the kids? And she was like, no, you doing your injections, you falling over, you just let people see what it's actually like. And that was absolutely petrifying for me because then I had to deal with it myself. So, and those videos were all over YouTube. And then literally money was coming in from all over the world. It was incredible. People were so generous. I mean, I have to say I was so lucky. My son actually turned to me and he said, there is something in this karma stuff that you talk about all the time. Because one of the first people to donate was a lad that I was at school with. And I wasn't particularly friends with him. I think I'd lent him a pencil or something. This is when I was about 11. And he was like one of the first to donate. And I was like, oh my gosh, I remember you from school. And he says, there is something in this karma, isn't it? You just have to be kind. And I said, as long as you're kind to people, that's all you need to do. So, yeah, I mean, I was so, so lucky.
Tell us about your book and where to get it from.
Yeah, you can find it on Amazon. I think it's in a Kindle version as well. It's called Rose Tinted, My Story. And it's a big M and then a story's a big S, so MS. The book actually, because I hid my MS for, like I said, it was over a decade, purely I thought for other people, but actually it was because I hadn't dealt with it. You know, when you get diagnosed, you get offered counselling. And I was like, nope, don't do counselling. I'm fine. I'm not going to get ill. I'm not like those people. Because with MS, it takes things away slowly and you adapt slowly. So I stopped having zipped things and I stopped having buttons and I started buying grated cheese. And I was always an anti-grated cheese. I was like, why are people too lazy to grate their own cheese? But then I was the buyer of grated cheese. So because it happens so slowly, you don't realise that you're adapting so much. So, yeah, but the book I wrote when I got back from Russia, because I was in isolation at home for 3 months. And then when I came out, we all went into a lockdown for COVID because Leicester was one of the first places. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe this. And I thought, how can I make use of my time? And I was like, I'm going to write down everything that I swore I would never tell anyone because it's not fair. You know, if you get this diagnosis, that you have to hide it, because I was a bit ashamed and I was worried what people would think. But then I started realizing, because obviously lockdown gave us a lot of time, that it's not okay to be hidden away. And it is frightening. And the diagnosis of MS is scary. You know, I mean, I wrote my book because I don't want people to be frightened, and people can see that there are other people going through this. And if you look at things in a positive way, then you can change, you know. So, yeah, that's what I did in lockdown, is wrote my book and told everything that I swore I would never, ever say out loud. But it was massively cathartic for me. So because I refused counselling, because I was like, no, don't need anything. And I cried my eyes out when I was writing some of it. But, yeah, it helped me deal with it.
Oh, that's brilliant, brilliant stuff. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colours or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So, Kezia, what do you do for work now?
I'm a holistic therapist. So it was what I was training in when I got my diagnosis. So I basically rub people. I'm chief rubber. So I do a lot of reflexology, which is basically an hour working on your feet. And it's incredible, really, because my mum's a scientist. So when I was doing it, I was thinking, this doesn't make any sense. How can this work? You know, but I sort of did it. It was part of the course and we did aromatherapy and massage. But with reflexology, I was like, this is crazy. And the first one I did, I was like, oh, there's something wrong with your eyes. And she was like, no, don't wear glasses. And I was like, okay. And then she rang me the next morning and she said, I've got conjunctivitis. And I was like, yes. And I was like, sorry, not that you've got conjunctivitis. But I said there was something wrong with your eyes. And I was like, okay. And I thought, oh, that's just a coincidence. And the next one I was doing her feet and I said, oh, it's your intestines. And she was like, yeah, my IBS is really bad. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And things like that kept happening. And I was doing a health day at an American airbase. And I was working on one lady's feet. It was just a really short treatment. And I was like, oh, I can't tell if it's your small or large intestine, but there's a bit of an imbalance. I said, I've only just qualified, so I'm not sure. And she was like, it's not there. And I was like, what? And she had cancer of the part that connects the small and large intestine. I don't know what it's called, but that had been taken away. And I was like, ooh. And so it was just a bit like, and even now, I mean, I've been doing it for a long, long time, but even now I'm like, I don't get it. But for some reason, it seems to be helping. And it might be the oil that I'm using. It might be the actual treatment. It might be because they want it to work, because they think it's ridiculous. I've no idea. But the way that I look at it, if it's helping, however it is helping, I'm okay with that. I don't know why reflex works, but it does. But yeah, reflex, I do all sorts of things.
That's fantastic. What's the future hold for you?
Oh, that's always a good one. Well, I think I'll be doing treatments forevermore. Even if I'm a really old lady, I'll wheel myself to the salon and I'll be doing treatments forevermore. Hopefully, I want to get the book out there. So I've done quite a few talks with like the Odd Fellows and various different people just about looking at life positively. Because if you get a diagnosis, that's very frightening. But for anyone, if you can start looking at life in a better frame, it makes such a difference. And like we said before, if you've got that mindset, I would love to do talks to the whole world, have the book turn into a film, ever, I'd take over the world. But yeah, lots of talks. I'd like to speak about the book and just give people hope. I've had quite a few messages from people that have read the book. There's one chap who was suffering with depression, and he said he read the book and he said he just changed how he looked at things and just said, you know, thank you for giving me that. And I was like, you're welcome. And then there was one chap in America that contacted me, and he'd been diagnosed with MS, and he hadn't told his wife because he was so scared of what she was going to say. And he said he felt like there was someone there with him. You know, because he was like, I recognize so many different things that happened to you. And it just gave him a bit more hope. And that's what I'd like, is to get the book everywhere and just give people, you know, not necessarily with a diagnosis, just anyone, just to give them a bit of hope, because life can be hard. But if you can, you know, try and restructure how you look at things, then you can always, there's always a positive that you can take, and even if it's the smallest thing.
Absolutely. Any other tips at all? Or you think that would be, do you think there's anything else?
Yeah, I think grated cheese is a good one, because when you've cut your fingers a lot of times, grated cheese comes in handy. Grated cheese, definitely gratitude, and a toweling robe, I would say. Because if you're really exhausted, like with MS and fatigue, lots of people get this after you've had a bath. I mean, I have my baths too hot, so that's probably not very safe. But when you're like drying yourself and you're absolutely exhausted, it doesn't happen so much anymore. But if you can whack on a toweling robe, you're good to go. So toweling robe, grated cheese and gratitude, I would say, are my three top tips.
How is treatment going for you now at the moment?
Really good. I mean, I have oxygen every single week, so I still have that. And I go to a group physio session at the Leicester MS Therapy Centre every single week, so I make sure I do that. And then I've got physio that I'm meant to do every single day. I try and do it most days, but I'm human. So, and then I take a lot of vitamins, an awful lot of vitamins. But yeah, as long as I keep up with my physio and eat healthy. I mean, I tried so many different diets. I look back now, I went gluten-free, I went dairy-free. I, you know, I cut out all sorts. At the moment, I'm trying out keto. So that seems to be working well. But I think you can do that for a certain period of time. But it gives me so much more energy. But it's very difficult to sort of say, do this, do that, because we are all so different. And it needs to work for you. You know, MS, everyone's MS journey is completely different, because our brains are made up differently. So it's finding something that works for you, really, and it's a lot of trial and error.
Are you in touch with anyone else with MS, and you have a chat about things, or that kind of network, that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely loads. I still speak to the people that I was in Russia with. So we've got a little WhatsApp group and we still check in because they were literally all over the place. There's people in New Zealand, Australia, loads in America, some others in England as well. So we've got a little WhatsApp group. And also I go to the Leicester MS Therapy Centre at least once a week. And then it's really nice because we have, you know, we have group physio and then oxygen and then, you know, I just sit and have coffee with people. And I've started doing like a mini relaxation session with everyone before we go and do hardcore physio. So it's the wrong way round, but it means at least we get something in there. Ooh, so yeah, a lot of it is just talking and getting out what you're worried about, you know.
That sounds brilliant. And any future fundraising projects coming up at all?
Oh, not yet. I mean, I did one years and years ago before people knew I had MS for the therapy centre. So I probably am about due doing a new one, really. So I'm probably due to do something. It'll give me a bit of a boot.
Will that take place, do you think, in maybe next year now, summer, spring, that kind of time of the year? Or?
Yeah, that's a good shout. I'll do that. Yeah, the Leicestershire MS Therapy Centre. And also Ames. There's so many charities that I'd love to help. I said, when I win the lottery, I've got a list of charities. So Ames is a big one. The therapy centre, they've helped me out so much. So I've got a huge list, so I need to get cracking, really.
Would it be okay for people to contact you about your holistic services or if they want to have a chat about MS?
Definitely. It's Kellebec Holistics. So www.kellebecholistics.co.uk. And then the book, you can find it on Amazon. That's probably the easiest way. And it's on Kindle version. It's called Rose Tinted, My Story. And if you're in the UK, it's www.rosetinted.me. And that will come straight to me. And then I can scribble a signature in there for you if you wanted.
Brilliant. Will you be writing any more books at all?
I would love to. I've started writing more because it is, like I said, when I was off for counselling, I was like, nope. And then writing the book, really, it made me deal with everything. So I think, yeah, I've got a few things on the go. I love writing. So when I was a little girl, my mum said we used to go and do like loads of, we did the Strawberry Fair in Cambridge. And I used to sit underneath the table, scribbling, writing away. And in the attic, I found loads. I had a typewriter. So I used to sit and type. And I said, when I grow up, I'm going to write a book. And it was so funny because I found some of the crazy stories that I wrote when I was little. And one of the little girls in there is now my daughter's that name. And I thought, oh, I'd already come up with that name when I was about 7. So, yeah, I'd like to do more books. I've got hundreds in my head. I just have to put them on paper.
Brilliant. Kezia, thank you for your time today. It's been brilliant having you on.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to our listeners. You know you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.